come, and we're so grateful. Lord, we know above everything else that you indeed are a beautiful God. We look at your creation. We look at the just diversity and the design. Lord, just spending last week in the high desert and just seeing the things that we routinely don't see here in Oregon. So beautiful, the brightness of colors and just the uniqueness of designing things that will really be sustained and will prosper even in the desert. So Lord, we look at all these things and it tells us one thing about you, that you are indeed a beautiful God. We also know you're a loving God because we've seen how you've treated us, Lord. You've treated us so well, not because we deserved it, quite the opposite. Lord, Scripture says, well, we were still sinners, well, we were still stinkers. Lord, you came and you sought us out. Lord, you loved us. In fact, you said, this is love, that you first loved us. And so we're so grateful to you, Lord. And we know that kind of love is not a love that just changes based on what mood you're in, not at all. But Lord, in fact, you're in covenant with us. You've made a contract with us, Lord. And it's a contract not made by, you know, the shedding of or the sacrifices of bulls or even goats or anything like that, Lord. But it's really in your blood. Your very own son came and he sacrificed his life as part of this covenant. And so, Lord, we know your love for us is deep and like no other love. There is no other love that can even come close to how you love us. And so, Lord, we say, will you remind us anew of that? Will you remind us anew of your grace? Will you remind us anew of your love for us? Amen, church. Amen. Go ahead and get your Bibles open and your Bible apps, whatever you want to use, and turn to Romans, the 11th chapter. But I want to begin by asking you this question, and you can be honest. Feel free to raise your hand if you would describe yourselves as a very patient person. Go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, there's a few of you. Now we're going to ask your friends if that's true. And if you're married, we're going to ask your spouse if that's true. See what they think. But, you know, I know we may struggle with being patient people. I'm the same way. I'm this way. You've heard me say, if there's a line, I just will go without. I don't like lines. I don't like, having to wait a little bit longer to get what I want. I want it, and I want it now. Okay? The Lord's working on me. But here's one thing of good news, and that is that God is a patient God. Amen? See, I'm glad he's not like me, and you should be glad he's not like me. You should be very glad that he's not like me. But he indeed is a very patient God, and he doesn't put us on the shelf. He doesn't relegate us to the shelf whenever we mess up. It's not like, you know, get out of the game, right? Go in the dugout. He doesn't do that with us, right? There's a time when he might discipline us, but he, as a way of how he conducts himself with us, he doesn't do that. If he did, then the Bible would only be 3 chapters. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If that's the way God worked, it would be 3 chapters, that's it. And I'm like, whoa, I love this Bible, you know? I can read through it in no time. But we see how he has dealt with mankind. And if anything, it says God has been patient with us, and I'm so grateful that he has. And especially when we see Israel, how he has really worked with Israel, how patient he has been with Israel. They're the perfect example that even though Israel time and time and time again broke their promises to God, we talked about the Ten Commandments, right? That our children are eating that Ten Commandment cake. No sooner had the Ten Commandments come down off the mountain and they were already worshiping a false god. I mean, it was like, my gosh, you couldn't even wait for the ink to dry. And yet you'd already broken them. And yet God had been patient and has been patient with them. And to me, that's good news. That's good news to me because even though they broke their promises, God didn't break their promise. God didn't break his promise. But I know that I've been doing this for a long time, and I know sometimes people ask this question internally. And the question they ask is this sometimes. Is God done with me? Is God done with me? Has he cast me aside because he knows what I've done? Is he done with me, and has he cast me aside? Well, I think the answer to that, I can't really answer it except to say you need to study the character of God. Because the answer to that question is really found in the character of God. Because Israel tended to be a little lazy from time to time. Right? They'd be enthusiastic about God, and then the enthusiasm would wane. There was times when they chased after false gods, and they're all false, but they still chased after them. There was a time when even whole generations forgot about God. And then there was those times when they outright, knowing what they want, they knew, and they chose to rebel against God. When I read those things, I'm thinking, that's me. That's me. Not every day, right? Not every day, just to put you at ease, but that's still me. I sometimes get lazy. Can I get an amen? I sometimes chase after stuff that really doesn't even matter. There's those times that I forget about God. I really do. And I'm so immersed in thinking about myself. And then there's those times when, I got to be honest with you, I rebel. I know what God wants, and I don't want to do it. Especially when it comes to loving people that are unlovable. Right? I'm like, I don't want to, Lord. I don't want to love that guy. I don't want to love my brother. You know what my brother is like. But the Lord says, guess what? I love you. I loved you. And I know what you're like. And so when I look at how the Lord has worked with Israel, it really gives me really an encouragement. See, because I know that, I can be accused of the same things. Maybe degrees, maybe that's it. There might just be, we might just, you know, argue about the degree which I can be judged about those things concerning Israel, but I'm still in the same boat as they are. And so here's one thing that we're going to look at today is this, that God maintains a remnant by his grace. See, it's not, we sometimes can look at our nation or look at some other nation and say, man, God has abandoned that nation, and he really hasn't. If you understand the way God, especially when it comes to Israel, because there's a belief even in the church that God has kind of put Israel, you know, aside, that he's, and that's really, I think, lousy Bible. It's lousy Bible, because if you read everything about the end times, it's really based on God's relationship with Israel. And in fact, even this 2 weeks ago, and sometimes you read the paper and you're like, what does it mean? But I look at things through the lens of this holy book. And so just 2 weeks ago, I'll give you just for instance, I hear the France and the Brits talking about forming a European army. They're like, you know, we're tired of relying on the Americans. We're going to start our own army. And so you might read that and you're like, good luck. But yet, if you know anything about end times, you know that really it's a European army, an army that comes out of Europe that attacks Israel. And God has to defend Israel. So I don't read the news the way I think a lot of people do. I'm like, wait a minute. I've read about this before. Where have I read it? It's in that holy book. See, so even just that, and that's a freebie, lets you know that God has not put Israel aside, quite the contrary. Because of his grace, he's always kept a remnant. So let me look at three different things out of Romans 11. Here's point number one. Even when you expect it, God doesn't push you away. How many of you ever expected God to push you away? Let's be honest. How many of you thought, God, I really blew it. I really blew it. You're done with me. I just know you are. Well, that we might feel that way, but we have to look at the scripture and see the character of God, the nature of God, and see how he has dealt with people in the scriptures, especially with Israel. And look what the Apostle Paul says, because when we get to Romans 11, he apparently there's probably people asking that question, because he's talking about how the privileged position that Israel had, and yet they missed it. So the normal question is, God's probably done with them, because look at how favored a position. And maybe you're in a favored position too. You're like, well, how am I favored? Maybe you were raised in a Christian home. I consider that a favored position, amen? Because I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wish I was. Maybe you're here and you might say, I'm not a believer, but you know a believer. That's a favored position. Because when I grew up, I'm like, believers. I didn't know what a believer was until I was a senior in high school. I mean, that's how long it before I met one of those weird people that we call followers of Jesus. I'm like, wow, these people are odd. And yet, I've become one. So, let you know what I thought about them ultimately. But Romans 1:1 says this, to that question, is God going to push me away? Romans 11:1 says, I say then, as the Apostle Paul, has God cast away whom? His people. Okay, now that's important. Has God cast away his people? And he answers it, certainly not. That's very emphatic in the original language for sure. And then he gives really his argument. He says, for I'm an Israelite. So this is Paul, Apostle Paul talking about himself. For I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So when he's saying this, has God cast, right, his people away,
really that word, the original word, talks about pushing away, really repelling them, rejecting them, really once and for all. It's something that's really a final thing. Has God rejected them? I don't know if you ever had a parent that just kind of like sent you to your room. That sometimes it feels that way. Or you know, or somebody breaks up with you and they're like, you're dead to me. That never happened to me, but I'm in. It never did. I'm almost over it. But I don't know if you've ever felt that somehow a relationship has deteriorated to the point where you're in a sense what persona non grata. You're out. You're done. You're no longer welcome. Well, that's really what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Has God just said, Israel, I'm done with you? You've had every advantage, and yet you rebelled against me. Well, if you know the history of Israel, they did it time and time and time again. But the Apostle Paul says, not at all, right? No way. Even those people were rebellious, he still refers to them as his people. He still refers to them as his people. And he says, no, they didn't cast them away. But you know, sometimes we feel that way concerning God. We think that God has cast us away. And what we do, we disqualify ourselves. We're the ones that disqualify. And then we're like, I'm of no value to God. Because look what I've done. Look what I've thought about doing. Look at my background. I just came from the other side of the road tracks, or whatever it might be, however you view yourself. You know, rarely do I run into people that really have a high opinion of themselves. Quite the contrary. More these days, people have a lower opinion of themselves. And because of that, they think that's God's opinion of them. And I'm here to tell you, I don't think so. See, God, my kids, when we were raising them, this is what I kept telling them time and time again. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make junk. I mean, he quite the contrary. He knows exactly what he's doing. And his design and his plans for you are amazing. You may not be walking in them, and that's not on him. But you got to understand, there's no, you know what? He said, you know, I'm having an off day. I'm just going to throw something together, and that the result was you. Not at all. Not at all. You're special to him more than you even know. And so he says, you know, he didn't cast away his people. So don't disqualify yourself. Don't get to the place where you think God's done with me. Tell you what, I've met people that I could have sworn God would be done with them because of the stuff they did. But I tell you what, Scripture says, really, in a sense, doesn't say it this way, but it's kind of the way it really, you could translate it this way. And that's those that have been forgiven much, love much. Those that understand what God has forgiven, love much. They are in love with God because they understand where God found them. And that might be you. You might, you know, you maybe in your head, you're like, God wouldn't want to use me because of this or because of that. You got to hear tonight that you're here by design. You thought, well, I thought I'd just show up. No, you're here because he wants you to hear something. Look what Psalm 94:14 says. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Right? Nor will he forsake his inheritance. Once again, I mentioned about, you know, Moses, here he is, he's getting the Ten Commandments, and yet the people are already forming a calf down below. And in fact, the Lord, he tells Moses, go down there, because your people, I mean, they're in a sense, he's going, they're already messing up. And yet he already had given them the marching orders as a nation. Well, what does that tell you? If God, who knows everything, knew what they were doing, they had already created a false god, parading, doing all kind of lascivious things or whatever they were doing. And yet, if there's a time when he says, this is a bad mistake, I changed my mind, this would be the time. But he didn't. Right? He didn't. He stayed in there. And why? Because he always keeps a remnant. He always keeps a remnant. And so the Apostle Paul says, you know, God won't cast us away. And the reason I know is because I'm still here. I'm a Jew and I'm still here. So I know that God's not done with us, or else I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be an apostle like I am if God was done with us. So that gives me the second point. Even if we don't see it, God guarantees a remnant. Even if we don't see it, God guarantees a remnant. You know, that's when my kids were younger. That's what I still pray that from time to time, but I pray it about my grandkids now. When my kids were younger, I didn't know where the world was going to head, but I prayed, Lord, let them be a remnant. Let them be the ones that don't bow their knee to the things of this world, that they don't bow their knee to Baal, that they stand for you regardless of, even if it costs them everything, if it costs them, let them be the ones that do not, right, choose to walk away from God. And I tell you what, I think sometimes because I prayed that way, I think they've been attacked a lot because of that. You know, so what? So what? I mean, that it, so it's not like God, I'm only going to be faithful to you if it's easy. See, anybody can be faithful when it's easy. Can I get an amen? It's when things are rough, when everything hell has is thrown against you, and yet you're going to remain faithful to him. That's when it's really, in my mind, important. And that's what he's doing. Look in verse 2 and 3. So even if you don't see it, God guarantees a remnant. So the Apostle Paul, he's going to state his case. Right? His case that God hasn't cast away Israel. Quite the contrary. He says, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. He says, remember, God's plan began even before Israel existed. Israel started with Abraham. Right? Started with Abraham, but he's like, even before that, God knew them already. That was part of his plan. That was part of his design already. So why would he get rid of something that he already foreknew? It's this way. He already knew they were going to be rebellious. He already knew that they were as a nation going to be rebellious and chase false gods. And yet, knowing everything in the future, he still made them. See, the same is true for us. He knows what's ahead. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do in 10 years. He knows what you're going to do in 20 years, let alone what you've done. And yet, he says yes to you. I mean, and I'm like, Lord, you know everything about me and still you love me? I mean, where do I sign up? See, that's part of what drew me to him, his love. I mean, nobody loves me like he loves me. You know, my friends, they're no longer there. They're gone, you know. I'm talking people that I grew up with, people we say, hey, we'll always be there for life. Where are they at? But God has always been there, amen? God has always been there. So he says, no, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. And then he uses the example of Elijah. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel. So he's kind of, Elijah, he's in a stressful, depressed place because of stuff going on. And he's like, God, look at the nation. And sometimes we act that way toward America. Lord, nobody walks with you anymore, which isn't true, right? And so Elijah is in that place where he's like, Lord, in verse 3, Lord, they have killed all your prophets, and they've torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and even worse, Lord, they seek my life. Right? We know Jezebel, the queen, had really said, you know, may the gods deal with me, right, if by tomorrow Elijah is still alive. So he knows, here he's got the army of an entire nation after him, and so he obviously is depressed. And he's saying, God, I'm the only one left. I don't know if you ever felt that way, but he's about to learn something, but he's about to learn that's not true. See, God's prophet, God's number one prophet, is wrong about his understanding of how things were. Outwardly, it looked to him like, man, we're done. Outwardly, it looked to him like the nation cannot be saved. The nation cannot be brought back. But God is about to teach him something different. And that is that God always keeps a remnant. There's always a group of people that God, by his grace, not because they're super believers, but there's a group of people that God will always keep around, really to be a witness, to be a light. They're all around. We may not see them. We may not be aware of them. But I tell you what, they are there. They were in my high school. Right? They were in my high school. I was the guy at work. I was the light. I was the guy at work that God kept as a remnant, even though everybody else wasn't interested initially. But one by one by one by one, tell you what, things began to change. So God always keeps a remnant. You got to understand that. That in your place of work, you might say, man, pastor, there's no believers here. There's nobody that cares. You know, people just talk about the craziest things. That's good. You're in the right place. You're there on purpose. You're there on purpose. Just love people and keep loving them. Be the best lover of people in that place. Be the light that you're meant to be. But he keeps a remnant. You know, I think of Francis Chan, one of the amazing preacher of mega churches. He goes around and encourages churches, an author. I mean, just amazing guy. And so he walks away really from his mega church, which was crazy. People were like, "You're crazy, man. You finally have grown this amazing church. Why are you going to walk away?" And he walks away. And he kind of goes like, "Hey, I'm just going to see what God has for me." And so of all the places he ends up in San Francisco. Well, you're like, well, that's kind of a hard place to be, right? If you're a pastor. In fact, a lot of pastors would steer clear of that, right? But God is there because God is there. God has Francis Chan there because he wants to love the people. And so wherever we're at, whether we're in Portland or we're in Seattle or L.A. or New York, where God has not given up on those cities. In fact, he loves people in there. He's just waiting for other people that understand that and are willing to go there. Amen. Here's the third thing regarding really the remnant. There remains a remnant in Israel and in here today. There remains a remnant in Israel and here. Israel is a very vibrant place. And to hear some people talk about it, it's almost like God has set them aside. He never set them aside. And there's vibrant believers in that place. Right? And as a nation, God continues to bless that nation. I mean, that nation occupies worldwide attention. And they're 10 times smaller than Oregon. What? See, most people think it's a big... No, you can put 10, I think maybe even 11 Israels into Oregon. That's how small it is. And it occupies 0.5%, 0.05%, not even 1%, 0.05% of the Middle East. And yet the whole Middle East is saying, we want to destroy Israel. We want to destroy the Jews. We want to destroy Jerusalem. Why? Because it's God's people. And the forces that really are controlling people to say that kind of stuff hate God and hate God's people. Otherwise, it does not make sense. It does not make sense. I don't care if you believe in God or not. If somebody even has an ability to be rational, even using rational thought, that does not make sense. And yet that's where we are because God keeps a remnant. Look in verse 4 to 6. This will be my last point. So the Lord, he says, but what does divine response say to him? Now he's talking about Elijah. Where Elijah's like, Lord, man, things have gone bad. I'm the only guy left. And the Lord shows him the way it really is. He says, I reserve for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal, right? To the false god that was really being worshipped. He said, no, you've got it wrong. You're not the only one. I've got people in other places. I've got people in other places. He says, even so, at this time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. In other words, I've selected people, right? I've selected people, not because they were superstars, but because I want them in special places. I selected people to be light, to be witnesses still. At this time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. So it wasn't that they did something. No, God just said, hey, I'm going to use you. And if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So he peels back the curtain, as it were, and he tells them he still has the 7,000 that are still working and active in Israel. And I'm convinced that Israel, East River, is also a remnant. I believe we're a remnant church. I believe Riverside is a remnant church. I don't care how bad things get in this nation. It doesn't matter because I understand that God will ultimately get his way. God will ultimately get his way. I've lived away from God and I've lived for God, and I'll tell you which one I'll take every day. Amen? Right? What this offers me, been there, done that, tried it. Been there, done that, tried it, and was good at it. But I tell you what, I'll take what God has to offer any day. Any day, I'll take what God has to offer. Because he's a good God, and he offers good things. And he's the one that created everything that we see. And we see the unfolding. It's he that will one day say, okay, that's it. It's he that will bring down the curtain. And then everybody gives an account. Everybody gives an account of their decisions. See, if you're here tonight, you heard it clear. You had Pastor Carlos tell you, guess what? Everybody's going to give an account. And God wooed you into this place to introduce himself to you, and you rejected him. He's still not going to be done with you. I got to tell you, I know God well enough that he's not going to be done with you. He's going to keep wooing you and still keep wooing you. You know how I know that? Because he's done that to us. Amen? He's done that to us. But he says, no, I keep a remnant. I keep a witness. I keep people that are still working. They're there by grace. They're there to love people in my name. That's why they're there. So God was interested in Israel because he was investing in Israel. He had raised up Israel. Israel's like his kid, you know. He's invested in Israel. You know, even when your kid goes wayward, you still love them just as much. Let me tell you. If you ever had a kid that got wayward, you still love them just as much. And it's the same with Israel. God still loved them, and that didn't change anything. He was invested in them, and so he didn't reject them. He didn't just wash his hands of them. Well, you got to understand this, that he's invested in us. The Lord's invested in us. He made you. You're his. You're his. Right? And he has a plan for you. If I was you, I'd say, God, what's the plan? Because I think if you're honest with yourself, you would admit, you know what? I'm kind of making this up as I go. Or maybe if you admit, you're like, I never thought I'd find myself where I'm at now. But sometimes we don't want to be honest with ourselves. I was afraid what God was going to say. I figured God's going to send me to some faraway land. Right? I thought he's going to make me a pastor to the pygmies or something. I thought, you know, that doesn't sound good. But then I got to the place where I said, Lord, whatever you want to do. And he brought me to you. A little bit, step up, right? Here's what I want to know. See, I want to create in you really a remnant attitude, as it were. I want you to have a remnant philosophy, a remnant really attitude with the way you live. So I want to finish by just asking you these questions. And you can answer them yourself. Are you still standing strong? Has life beat the tar out of you, the stuffing? You're like, Pastor, I don't have much stuffing left. Or are you standing strong? Can God count on you to remain faithful to the very end? He's looking for people. They say, Lord, I'm faithful to the very end. No matter what it costs me, I'm going to be faithful to the very end. And will you really agree to live a remnant life? You're the remnant wherever you're at. But not the remnant just to take a place or take up a spot. A remnant to love people in Jesus' name. A remnant to share his gospel in Jesus' name. A remnant to lead people to the Lord. That's why he keeps a remnant around. Not just to occupy space. Amen? Any remnants out there? Anybody? Good? Good? Awesome. 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 We're going to pray and then we get to do, it's an exciting thing that I enjoy doing, and that is to do ordination. So let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can understand how you work with us by looking at how you work with Israel and continue to work with Israel. But I'm so grateful you don't give up on us. Oh, Lord. Not the first time, not the tenth time. Not the 10,000th time. You don't give up on us, Lord, and we're so grateful. Lord, what it stirs up in me is greater love for you. It makes me fall more in love with you because nobody would treat me that way except you. Nobody will continue to love me except you. And so, Lord, we lay aside everything. We say, Lord, we want to live for you. We want to be that remnant person, that remnant church to live for you, that no matter what, where life goes, no matter where this community goes, no matter where this nation goes, Lord, there is that light in Hillsborough. There is that light in Rainier. There is that light in Beaverton. Lord, in Cornelius, in Forest Grove, in Gaston. Those little lights that people can still run through, run to and be introduced to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen, church? Amen, amen. Well, we're going to